And a very good afternoon to you. It is now 6 minutes past midday, and in the studio I'm joined by Ian Mack. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon, Andy.
And how the devil are you, sir?
I'm very well, and welcome.
Oh, thank you, yes.
Welcome to the lunchtime social debate.
Absolutely. I can only apologise for the fact that you've got to stare at my ugly fitzog across the desk. You're not used to it, are you?
But, well, there is a microphone that's covered yes. up half of it, so it's not too much of a
problem. And the brown paper bag I'm wearing also helps a wee bit. I've just left a little mouth hole so I can... if you hear any rustling, it's me. So, great to be here. Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed myself this morning. And, yeah, my first lunchtime social debate. Now, you're a master of the art, of course. You've been doing this for more years than you probably care to remember, or indeed at your age probably can remember. But
that's true.
Thank you.
That's true. You're too kind.
Not at all. But, we've got all sorts of things that we could chat about, and hopefully people will be ringing in and joining the conversation.
Just one thing to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Argument not... debate, not argument.
Oh, debate, not argument.
Debate, not argument.
Okay.
Do you
How would you define the difference, then?
Well, you don't want to fall out with people. You can have a discussion and disagree on certain things and maybe seeing someone else's point of view. I mean, this is how World Wars start, isn't it?
Yeah. I put something misunderstandings
up over the weekend and certain people have
I saw that.
Jumped on it and taken it sort of how they want to take it. I'm not saying that the NHS and football is linked in any way. But I'm just making a comparison.
Sure.
And, and it is, it's a great debate, it really is. Does football, shall I read out what I put on the...
Yes, indeed, yeah.
I mean, you probably remember this as well.
I remember
when football wasn't sports entertainment and managers didn't have a little stage to perform in, and there wasn't a transfer window in which English teams didn't spend over £1 billion on players. £1 billion, it's a massive amount of money.
Huge.
Whilst on NHS is struggling and receiving less support than our football clubs, will football ever crumble? Just one of the topics that we're discussing today. And, some people have taken this the wrong way. Okay, the comparison is there. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be allowed to earn loads of money. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think it's quite sad that maybe those people that are running football, if they ran the NHS, we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, exactly.
And those people that are running Formula One, who seem to make millions as well, if they were running the NHS, we wouldn't have a problem. The NHS is crumbling, yes. Is there a comparison? Is there a link with the two? Now, I say that there is. Now, there wasn't supposed to have been a link. It was just a comment that was comparing the two
situations. Yeah, sure, just a comparison.
And, sadly, some people have taken it the wrong way. But I think there is a link there because we all pay in for the NHS.
I dumped in on that post that you put up. I remember well. And it was interesting reading the various comments. And some people did seem to take it slightly askance, I would say, because I was making the point, I'm not necessarily aligning myself with the point that you were making as such. You can make your own points quite clearly, but I was saying that at the end of the day, while of course private companies are private companies and they make as much as they make and they can pay as much as they want, and the NHS is a completely different kettle of horse meat altogether, but my point was that ultimately us as individuals, as consumers and as voters, we are responsible for that ultimately, because we choose to spend our money on season tickets, football merchandise, Sky TV sports packages and other that are available and so on. So we're funding the football coffers by spending our money, by choosing to spend our money as we're allowed to, but we also are responsible for who we vote into being our representatives in government, who dictate how much money and who runs the NHS and other things. So, we are ultimately, if you want to vote in, if you can get someone who is a successful managing director or CEO of a private company to stand for parliament, as you're perhaps hinting at, who would stand and then become a minister for health and run it as a business, not a private business, but run it as a business, perhaps that will make all the difference. But ultimately, we vote for the government that chooses how much money to spend on the police, nuclear weapons, NHS, junior doctors, whatever else. We also choose how to spend our own disposable income. And so we're funding this £1 billion transfer market and everything. So it's just, I think you've got to accept that we do have have the power to change these things.
We do. But it's more of the point I was also making, and now we've got the opportunity to make, you know, make it a little bit firmer. The point is, you know, how I was talking to my father-in-law over the weekend, and he was talking about he was talking to certain people in the last couple of years that used to watch football. Live, drink football, and now they don't because of, you know, the money in it. It's spoilt it, and you know, can't afford to watch it on Sky, can't afford to go to the games, so they've kind of stepped back and they've kind of taken up rugby and watching rugby, which is kind of sad because it's a game that I know you are very fond of.
Indeed,
you yourself have connections with Portsmouth Football Club.
I do, very strong connections,
and you know, they're probably a perfect example in a moment, which we'll come to. But you know, it's a case of, when did football get to the point where it was sports entertainment, where a manager sits in a square or stands in a square and is acting and screaming and shouting and playing up to the crowd? And and yes, it's entertaining, but when did it get to that stage? Because I don't see Brian Clough ever getting to that point where he was you know, jumping into a little square. I mean, most of the time he would sit in the dugout. So it's kind of, for me, it's kind of, has it enhanced it? Has it made it worse? Has it taken the sport out of it?
Yeah.
And I think that there's more sides to this story than we actually realise. It's not just about winding certain people up by making a comparison between you know, the wealthy footballers and the NHS. It's not just about that. There's a much, much bigger picture here. And he asked the question, will football ever disappear or become not as sexy as it is now, you know, not as not as as followed as it is now?
I mean, I'm not harking back to a day that we'd never, it would be foolish to recreate something. I mean, things move on and we head to the future and whatever happens. But back in the day when sport was amateur, it was a completely different thing. There was sportsmanship, which, frankly, I think is a dying art these days. I don't know if you'd agree with that, certainly.
Sadly,
in football.
It is, yeah.
But when sport was amateur, and my links with, my family links with Portsmouth, and indeed England, my grandfather on one side was captain of England, and won an Olympic gold medal in Stockholm in 1908.
Wow.
No, 1912, sorry, I beg your pardon, 1912. But they were amateur sportsmen, you know, performing at the highest level, Olympic Games, and with, you know, it's pre-World Cup, of course, in those days. But when sport became professionals, that's when I think it was on, you know, an inevitable road that it is now currently showing its colours.
Well, it's funny you bring up the Olympics, because the person that I was talking to over the weekend that actually made the point of the Olympics, we've just had the Olympics, and it was, you know, they said, their exact words were, it didn't quite mean as much as it did when we watched them 4 years ago in London, but it means more than watching football, because those people... put their heart and soul in, and you know that it's not just about the money. In actual fact, it is about winning a gold medal. That's the most important thing. Yes, they do get paid. Yes, they get sponsorships and so on and so forth. But they're not as wealthy as football. But they're footballers. But the actual sport means it is a sport, and it means more to them. And that's kind of sad, and that is a sad comparison to make nowadays. Whereas, you know, when we were younger, it was about making the FA Cup final. It was about winning a trophy. And then a few years ago, certain clubs didn't put so much emphasis on winning the FA Cup, which is sad, really. So it just begs the question: will it sort of at some point? Because is it because there's too much money? Is it because there's too much pressure? I don't have a problem with people being paid lots of money for doing things. If you can do it, then fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to do that. People should be able to earn what they can earn. And you should never, you know, say, right, okay.
No, there shouldn't be a cap on it if the money's there and they've
absolutely
earned. It might be obscene amounts relative to what we're used to.
But bear this in mind, and I think it's really important that we do bear this in mind. What have we got going on in, you know, in football's hierarchy at the moment? And I'm not just talking about in the UK. You've got people being arrested.
Yes.
And, you know, and you know, you've got corruption issues.
And, I mean, if you extend, I mean, I take your point entirely on that in terms of the corruption, because there's so much money involved, it kind of automatically follows that there will be some shady deals and brown envelopes passed here and there, which we're discovering all the time, particularly about FIFA and other organisations. But in the Olympics, the doping. You know, because now it's so important to win, irrespective of the financial side. And, I mean, has, you know, is sport still vocational, if you like, or is it now all about the winning or nothing? Second just ain't any good. And you throw money at it, you throw drugs at it, you throw, you know, cheating at it, I'm afraid, in various forms and shapes.
Sadly.
And sport, is it now sport? You know, I mean, that's really the thing. For me, I actually, apart from I do enjoy watching the rugby, because I think that still has some purity, if you like, in terms of a sporting event, but I am rapidly going off watching other sport, because I can't be sure that I'm actually watching sport in what I call the terms of sport.
Absolutely, and that's what this, you know, for me, this is all about. It's it's not a, if you don't like football, it doesn't matter. Sure. We're not talking about, you know, wingers and defending
stuff
like that. We're actually talking about, you know, what will happen, or will it ever come to a point where people say, do you know what, football? Nah, I don't like
can't
it anymore.
Bothered.
Can't be bothered. It's not football anymore. It's not a sport.
No.
It's, you know, they say sports entertainment. The WWE have stolen that. It's sports entertainment. It used to be wrestling. Well, you know, it's fixed. You know, it's a film, basically. But, you know, what will happen in the future? It's just, to me, it fascinates me. I've got to the stage now where I've started not to care too much. I watched England yesterday, and I was at the end of the game thinking, I'll never get those 2 hours back.
No.
How boring is that?
Exactly.
But it's really sad, because it used to be a sport. I remember when you used to turn up, play your best, and if you didn't do, you know, brilliantly well, you shook hands at the end of the game, and exit, you walked away. Now we've got things where, well, they've lost their livelihood now, because they've lost four games. They're fired now, and they've moved on to somebody else, because there's too much money in it.
Yeah.
We have to do well.
You saying about the England match last night, which was, well, we won't go into detail on that, but like you say, I mean, I spent the last half an hour actually looking at the paint drying on the wall, because it was more interesting, but... You know, I mean, are teams, because of the money and the pressure and so on, are they scared to lose more than ever? Whereas, as you say, you used to turn up, whether you were playing for your school, you know, second 11, or whether you were playing for, you know, a professional club in the lower leagues, or even Division One, as it used to be called, you know, you turned up, you did your best, you played, but you actually went out and played football. Whereas these days, they all seem scared to actually get the ball.
Yeah.
And then and all they do is look around, see someone behind him and pass it back.
It's business.
It's boring.
It's business. And you know, the sad thing is that, yes, we've you know, had some comments, you know, people not liking the fact that we've, or I have said that, you know, we've got a failing NHS and we've got a football situation that is just growing. I think there's a big disease happening in football, and at some point we're getting sucked in, and at some point we will see, you know, the outcome of that, what will actually happen. But, you know, the sad facts are there for everyone to see. We've now got a business, and it's a massive business, it's a huge business, and we've kind of got the same business going on in our schools with teaching, because not on the same scale, but that is where we're going. And it's all about funds, it's all about money, it's and where's the sport?
Where's the sport?
Where's the sport?
Well, I've just had a comment there on Facebook from Nick saying, you know, that youngsters aren't coming through anymore. That system just doesn't seem to be working. We've got a call coming in here. Hello, who's that? Welcome to Vectis Radio. You're live on air. Who's calling?
Hi, it's Pyro.
Hello, Pyro. Hi, good afternoon. What have you got to say, sir?
Oh, well, I think that they should all get a pay cut.
Well, who's gonna endorse that? Are you gonna enforce that one, Pyro?
Yeah, I would do. I don't subscribe to Sky Sports, but I do get BT Sports, but I don't pay for that. It's free with my broadband. But I just think it's gross when you think you've got people like the nurses who are struggling, and yet our footballers like Rooney, who's so fat he can hardly run, are getting gross amount of money.
Let me just say this before somebody shoots you down, and people are saying, how can is there a connection between the two? Well, this is my connection between the two, football and NHS, because this was the big argument on Saturday, and the facts are that there are X amount of footballers, and I'm not going to name them, but there are X amount of footballers that have X amount of accountants doing X amount of things that can only be described as loopholes, so they don't pay so much tax on their wages. Now, some people would say they're overpaid and so on and so forth. I kind of agree with that, but as I've already said, if you're going to get X amount of money, you're not going to say no, and you're not. And I think, you know, it would be dishonest of everybody to say, oh, no, they're paid too much. But if you were paid that much, would you give any of it back?
But then surely that's absolutely true. But, I mean, these people getting ridiculous, I mean, sums of money a week that you would only dream of getting
absolutely.
Once in a lifetime if you won the pools. But also with the big businesses, I mean, these loopholes and so on. Surely if people are earning that much and if they're paying their taxes to our coffers in this country, they are helping to support the services that we all require.
Absolutely. And the point I was making is that certain people have flouted the loopholes.
Exactly.
That are,
yeah, yeah.
And that's why there is a connection between the NHS and footballers
exactly.
being overpaid.
Yep. That's it.
And
yep.
sorry, Sam, but it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Paro, what do you have to add to that?
I can see where you're coming from, but I just think that the professional game has just got so boring now.
Why has it got boring, though, Pyro? Is it because they're too frightened to lose, as I was suggesting?
Yeah, I started watching non-league football again because you get a better game. When was the last time you went to Newport? I don't know, but Newport's not a very good team these days, but they used to be.
Mm.
I mean, if I got a spare Saturday and I'm not doing anything, I'm not working, instead of going out to Reading, I go and keep my mum happy. I go and see my mum in Gosport and go and watch Gosport Borough, and you get a much better game. They're not, all right, you've not got the same skill, but they're not playing for the money because they're hardly getting any money at all. But you get a good,
so,
honest game.
Really, you're saying you're actually watching a true, pure sporting event, not necessarily with the level of skill, as you say, of the professionals, but you're watching a sport.
That's right.
That's the difference. Yeah, okay, I get that. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right, Pyro, thank you ever so much for your comments, mate. And we'll crack on. I'm going to go to these now, and then we'll be back with some more chat in just a moment.
Social Debate is sponsored by jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
This is Vectis Radio.
Serving the Isle of Wight and beyond.
www.vectisradio.com.
See how the Romans lived and worked on the Isle of Wight. Brading Roman Villa and Cafe are housed in a modern, eco-friendly building, offering easy access for everyone without climbing stairs or walking miles. It's an oasis of peace and tranquility, set away from busy roads, with plenty of space for children to play in safely, and there's free parking too. The villa also has a gallery for local artists where works for sale are displayed. Enjoy the spacious licensed cafe with its stunning panoramic view of Sandown Bay, in which you'll find locally sourced food and drinks and a tempting selection of homemade cakes from our chefs Ben and Nikki. Then visit the award-winning museum with its welcome shade. There's a volunteer guide to explain it to you. Explore 10,000 years of domestic life with a great selection of activities included in the entry price and some of the best Roman mosaics in Europe. But really, there's so much more to Brading Roman Villa than the Romans. There's also food, art, meadows, and peace for the whole family. Open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. Come to Brading Roman Villa and treat yourself.
Coach Trip is a fast and funny new comedy about a group of people on a trip to France with coach driver George and his lovely assistant Mabel. It's by the award-winning Origins Theatre in partnership with the Royal British Legion and aims to raise funds for this year's Poppy Appeal. It promises to be a great night out for a great cause. It also features music from the 1940s and one or two surprises. It's on for just two nights at the Key Arts Centre in Newport on September the 22nd and the 23rd. You'll love it, so get a ticket and come along for the ride. But hurry, there aren't many seats left. Call 01983 822 490 or you can book online at www.keyarts.org and make sure you don't miss the bus.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010 and has been running successfully ever since. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more. The station pays for itself by offering affordable but competitive advertising rates to local companies. For more information, call our sales team on 01983 527 733 or email vectisradiomarketing@gmail.com. Vectis Radio really is a community station in its truest sense. For the people, by the people.
This is Rockin' Radio, the Wall of Sound.
Hi,
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. Went to see the management earlier to ask them to explain how you can listen to Vectis Radio on an Apple. It's not an Apple, they replied. It's an Apple iPhone or iPad. You just download the app for www.tunein.com and then put in Vectis Radio in the search to listen to all your favourite shows. That's really clever, I thought. I wonder if it could work with a grapefruit.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate is sponsored by Jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
You're listening to Vectis Radio. This is the Lunchtime Social Debate with me, Andy Knight, and in the studio with me, Ian Mack, the gaffer himself, and we're chatting about all sorts of things. We've done a little bit on sport there, and football in particular. Just something else I was going to throw out there, Ian, something I mentioned in the last hour of the show, that I'm not quite sure where this rumour, from whence it emanated, as it were, but I did hear talk over the weekend because of what I understand have been less than good ticket sales for the Isle of Wight Festival in June. And in terms of the ticket sales for Bestival coming up at the end of this week, two great events here on the island, which I know we both enjoy, as do obviously thousands of other people from all over the globe who descend on us, which is wonderful. But there has been talk as to whether Bestival and the Isle of Wight Festival might receive licences on alternate years rather than running them both on the same year between June and September, as of course they currently do and have done for a long time. And I just wonder if that is something which may well come about.
Two issues there then, two things. Mm-hmm. You mentioned ticket sales, which which has no bearing on licenses.
No, of course not. No.
But you always get these kind of rumours, and I don't know whether it does anybody good, does yeah. John Giddings any good
no, exactly.
have a rumour? I know he hates no. rumours.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm looking at this and thinking, all right, okay, there is something that's going around at the moment where people have said there hasn't been a date set for next year's event.
Mm.
And, you know, I've heard these rumours before, and I think, right, okay, so who is it down to? Is it down to someone giving them a licence? Well, I can't see them not giving them a licence.
Mm.
So it would have to be the other if it was true.
Yeah.
We're only going to do it every other year if it were true.
Mm.
To be honest, I think both events, I've never actually been to the festival, but I think both events are fantastic. I love the festival. I go there most years.
Yeah.
I think there's only about once, twice that I've missed in the last, since they've been doing it since 2001, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Back.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic event. Did you go this year?
No, I didn't make it this year. No,
I went and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. I didn't look around and think, there's a lot less people here than usual.
Yeah.
I don't know how many tickets were sold. I don't really have to care, but it was a busy event. It was a fabulous event. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't see them saying, we didn't do very well with the tickets, so we're only going to do it 2 years. If there's another plan involved, possibly because of the hard work and effort and how long it takes to put this thing together, that would make more sense. But I don't see it not happening because of a lack of ticket sales, because I thought the place was busy. Really,
absolutely.
Really busy.
I mean, if you remember earlier this summer when I chatted to John Giddings and we're talking about the festival prior to this year's festival, and lovely guy, and I mean, he's put this together. And basically, he's been, a huge team with him, of course. But, I mean, he's driven this since 2000, 2001, when he took it over, and has made it a global event and brought attention to the island in all the best possible ways. But he was saying to me in that interview that it's basically his hobby. His daytime job is obviously as a global rock and music promoter and agent, and that's what he does. That's his business. He runs the festival as a hobby. No matter how much work's involved, he does it because he just loves to do it. He loves the island. He loves to bring the music. And he was telling me when he brought the Stones over and got them over here, he didn't need them to come over. In fact, he'd already got a full program, and he didn't really have any more money. But the opportunity arose through one of his tours that he was arranging for them to bring them over. And the Stones actually asked him, why you brought us over? You've got a full lineup. He said, because I can, because I want you to play the Isle of Wight. And it's just really because... And the only thing I think that would deflect the festival in particular from its continued success, as you've pointed out, would be if John Giddings actually just ran out of steam, was too busy, or just actually got bored with it. And I cannot see that happening. No. So I can't see it happening for any reason.
No, I can't. I don't know whether there's confusion surrounding dates that have not been announced next year.
Yeah, it might be.
Whether we should read too much into that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. That's my own gut feeling. And I've never been to the festival, but by all accounts, it's very well supported.
Well, the festival, again, I mean, it tends to attract perhaps largely a different sort of crowd, but that is good. And again, it has certainly national, if not international, significance in terms of a successful musical event. It's a different type of event, as of course it would have to be, being on the island here. But Rob De Bank, who runs that, again, is passionate about it and has other events, festival-linked events, on the North Island, as I call it, of course, as well, across the South Coast. But he is all about the festival. And I think that, as you say, these rumours, I just brought it to air because it was something that, you know, on the island, you know what it's like. You know, I find if I wake up in the morning and sneeze in bed, by the time I've got downstairs, there's get well cards through the letterbox. You know, you know what it's like.
That's true, absolutely true. What else have you got there?
Well, I did bring up something that was just coming up on the news feeds here locally. Again, now the Syrian refugees. I know it's a contentious sort of issue, but the government, of course, have made provision for certain numbers of Syrian refugees' families. I think 20,000 was mentioned for resettling in this country this year. And all parts of the country have been allocated to take various numbers and families. And the island, I believe, is welcoming 5 Syrian refugee families to be, I believe, temporarily, initially, to be housed here. And I was just interested to know your feeling on whether the island, because the island is, you know, always noted for its friendliness and being so welcoming and so on, because we are a holiday island and so on. But there is a certain sort of, shall we say, insular, because we're an island, insular mentality, where things coming in from the outside can face some resistance. And I wonder how well we will welcome refugee families being settled here on the island.
Do you know what I think? We're a planet. It's got people on it.
Yeah.
And sometimes people move around. And sometimes they may look and talk different to us.
Sure.
But when you look back over history, we've all sort of moved around. If we try and trace our families, we've all, you know, moved around pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, the unfortunate thing is, I was watching a film over the weekend where the English invaded America. And, you know, the Civil War, and I started to learn my history, and I thought, crikey, nothing's really changed, has it?
No.
In all those years, nothing's really changed. Could you really turn your back on somebody that needed your help?
Mm.
Well, I couldn't. I don't really have any thought process other than, well, if you can help, we should.
Absolutely.
And that's it. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they are, where they're from.
But will there be some people, I mean, clearly, I mean, I totally subscribe to what you're saying. I mean, I think race is a sort of false construct in a way. We're all human beings. We live on a rock on the outer edges of a galaxy. You know, we could go into, I mean, it just, on that level, it's ludicrous. But there will be people say, okay, all right, that's all well and good, you know, the humanity approach. But what about our social services, our public services that are stretched to the limit in this time of austerity? Who's paying for this, and will it affect, you know, provision of housing for local homeless people if they're going to be, you know? That's where I can see that people will start raising their hackles.
Sure.
Not because of the humanity argument, which I think we would all agree with if we were asked, and I hope that everyone would agree with, but in terms of when you push it to the sharp points of living in an austerity regime in this country, and people saying, well, what about the homeless families here on the island? Are they getting the same treatment? And that's where I can see the contentiousness perhaps arising. I don't know.
Maybe that's when things become a little bit cloudy and a little bit sort of we get misled and we take our eye off the ball. I mean, very, just to change subject just slightly.
Sure.
We had a point about 6 weeks ago, wasn't it? Some gentleman from Ofsted decided to say that. Well, we started off by saying that the schools weren't very good.
Mm.
That got lost under the cloud of We're all inbred and we live in the ghetto. But hang on a minute, he made a valid point, but the point now has been missed. The point is that our schools need some work. Yeah. They need to bring them up to date. They need to be better. Did you, after that argument, did you ever hear that was the argument in the first place? That was the point that he was trying to make? No, it got lost.
Yes.
It got lost in translation.
Yeah.
We all now hate him because he called us a ghetto.
Yeah,
and it's disgusting because, you know, we all got upset and we all got on our high horses, but we missed the
point
because
yep.
we got angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when you look at these situations with people coming across to our country, I mean, it's our planet, we live here, we all live here, and we should all do our best to get on. But there is money out there is finances out there, but the sad thing is we all got cross earlier on. We were talking about footballers being paid too much money. There are so many companies around the world that don't pay the taxes that they should. They just take and give nothing back. You know, in a lovely world, they would put something back, and so there would be some coffers in there for people that are, you know, have reached hardship. That sadly isn't the case. And those people that are going through hardships now, what's the first thing they do? They have a go at somebody that's coming over here, getting something free. Well, that's not the case. And would you like to trade places with them?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not.
No. Well, I mean, the lack of social, with a capital S, responsibility for caring for people, irrespective of their colour, creed, race, wherever they've come from. I mean, is it just me? I don't know. I suppose any generation could say it, but it seems to me that it's become a much more selfish society, and it's all about me and mine, and anything that threatens that, or I perceive that threatens that, is automatically my enemy, and I will rant and rave about it because it's affecting me and mine, and I won't have that. I'm not having that at all. And it seems to be much more selfish. I mean, we just don't seem to have... I've just got a comment here from... someone on Facebook. It's Nick actually saying he loved the fact that Ian Mack has a very rare gene called common sense. So clearly, so people subscribing to your point of view very strongly on this, which I do indeed as well, because I think that, you know, you're making perfectly accurate and relevant points and very apt. But when things change, and when things appear, or people's perception of change is that they're being done down, they will always look for a scapegoat, won't they? And that's where the divisive nature of things comes from, I think.
Don't you find in this day and age, and I'm not saying that we don't, because we all do this, you know, myself included, something goes wrong, we blame. And in blame, there's me. There's me in blame.
Yeah.
And it's
lame.
And that's in blame as well. But we're too quick to blame. And we're too quick to moan. And if we were to just take a little bit of time out and think, just stand back, have a look at your situation. You've got a roof over your head. Okay, there are some people on the island that don't have a roof on their head, and sadly, you've got an MP that doesn't say or doesn't back the fact that there are homeless people. Well, hopefully, the guy that's putting on the bus thing is going to make a point there, highlight that.
Yep.
Go back to the MP and prove that there are people homeless. But when you've got somebody like that in charge, you know, what hope have we got?
Exactly.
But I say, we've just got to take a step back and have a look at the situation. We've got a roof, we've got food, most of us. We've got a roof, we've got food, we've got family. We live, we've got television. And most of us now have internet and other things as well. These people that are wanting to, or needing to, let's change the wording there, needing to come into our country for somewhere to stay, what have they got? Probably the clothes they're stood up in. Put yourself in those shoes and then think, could I turn those people away? Should we be turning those people away? Absolutely not.
But I think, no, you're absolutely right. But I think the flip side of the coin that I'm spinning on at the moment is that the community spirit, which you and I know all too well and benefit from in terms of what we're doing here with the team around us, just in this little entity that we are as Vectis Radio. I mean, the community spirit on the island, I think, is an extraordinary area where it's manifest in so many ways, day after day, week after week, year after year, and I'm sure that the community spirit of the island will, you know, shine through. I'm sure, and I hope that it will. I hope so. We're going to take another quick break now and come back after these, and we'll be chatting about something else.
The lunchtime social debate is sponsored by Jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Retinitis pigmentosa is a disease of the eye that leads to loss of vision and blindness. It causes the retina, the light-sensitive part of the eye, to degenerate and sight to be lost. RP Fighting Blindness works hard to stimulate and fund cutting-edge research to find a cure or treatment. The local RP Fighting Blindness group on the Isle of Wight has been established since 2006. If you live on the island and you'd like to get involved, please contact Colin MacArthur at talktalk.net or make a donation at www.rpfightingblindness.org.uk/IOW.
Having problems with your phone? Or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested. Or just a light fitted. West Wight Audio and Electrical Services can help you. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street, open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Are you ready, Boots?
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
This is Rockin' Radio, the Wall of Sound.
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. I told the management earlier on I needed to have a wee. Well, go to the toilet, they replied. You don't understand. I said I'm desperate for a Nintendo Wii so that I can listen to all my favourite shows on Vectis Radio. All you have to do is launch the internet channel on your Wii, click web address and put in WiiMusic.net. Then scroll down to the rock/alternative, then scroll down to find Vectis Radio. All that talk of Wii's. I really do need to go now.
The lunchtime social debate is sponsored by Jobs on the isleofwight.co.uk. If you're looking for work or if you're looking for staff, please call Jobs on the Isle of Wight on 01983 564 880.
You're listening to Vectis Radio. This is a lunchtime social debate coming up to a quarter to one on this Monday afternoon. And you're with me, Andy Knight, and in the studio, Ian Max here as well. And we've been chatting about all sorts of things today. And I know you just wanted to continue and link back to a couple of topics we've been talking about, Ian, and about the football wages and what we were just talking about with the refugees.
Well, I just wanted, you know, we obviously spoke about the refugees just now, and we talked about people blaming each other and so on and so forth. And because there's so much pressure, and there's loads of money in football, but there is equally a lot more pressure in football now, because if you don't do well, you get oiked out. Whether you're a player, whether you're a manager, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think with the pressure that they're under, I mean, how funny is it? I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's frustrating. How many times do you see a player appeal for something that's not his?
Mm-hmm.
He'll F and Jeff at the referee.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do all of those things, and youngsters will be watching that, and they'll be watching the fact that it's always someone else's fault. That ball come off him, it didn't come off me, it's mine, and quite clearly it didn't. You know, Martin Skrtel yesterday, I don't know how he stayed on the pitch in the first half, let alone stretching it out in the second half after stamping on somebody's
head.
You know, you got one of the top strikers in the world, Aguero, elbowing people. It's not the best sort of thing to watch and think, I know what we can learn from this. Yeah, we're learning things, but it's not the best way to learn. And I just think it gives us a little bit more me, me, me and nastiness. And the more it's on, the more me, me, me and nastiness. You just walk yourself down the town and you get people that are walking in front of you. They're on their phones. They're doing this, that and the other. But the one thing that I find amazing is people get stroppy when they're walking, but they get even more stroppy when they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times, every journey you'll see somebody waving their arms because they didn't do what they wanted them to do, or they were a little bit slow at pulling away.
Yeah.
And so all of these things, it's not just football, it's everything that we do.
So where have the role models gone? I mean, back in the day when you and I were nippers, I mean, there were role models, and I mean, yes, some of them were sportsmen. I mean, people like Bobby Moore and some like that were, you know, upright, and, you know, you aspired to be these sort of people. But where are the role models for these youngsters now?
Well, I don't think there are that many that are out there in the limelight, because sadly we live in an age where everything has to be everything has to be on show, cleavage, tattoos, all that kind of stuff.
And it's people want instant, or youngsters are taught, I mean, or learn perhaps rather than are taught, but learn that they're entitled to instant gratification. In other words, you know, if I can strum a guitar in my bedroom, I should be on a worldwide tour earning £1 million and driving a Ferrari because I've seen it on TV shows. And, that's all you got to do.
If you drive a Ferrari and you're a good bloke, you're going to get a bit more of the limelight. If you're a decent bloke and you don't drive, but you're still helping people because it's not deemed sexy, you're not going to get the publicity for it. So sadly, the people that are good role models, I mean, there are probably some good role models out there that are celebrity status, if you like. There aren't that many. I mean, do we see as somebody photographing their backside and putting it on Twitter and Facebook as somebody that we look up to? Sadly, there are people out there that do look up to those kind of people and think, you're great, you are.
And they have millions of followers. Exactly.
Just like you.
But is it because, I mean, how do you then address this crazy set of values that we have as a society? And I'm talking about the society that we live in here in this country, in Western Europe, in the developed world, supposedly. If we're supposed to be civilized, how on earth can we address that set of values, which has kind of grown almost without us noticing? And it seems to me it's gathered speed in the last, I don't know, 30 years or so, where it's all me, selfish, and the wrong kind of aspirations being used for role modelling for young people. I mean, how on earth do you address that set of values?
Sad thing is you can't, and you never will. The only thing you can do is make a difference in your own little life, make a difference in your own little world, however big, however small it is. You can be that person that you want to be. It's not about, you know, joining the rest of them and being ignorant and rude and driving your car and driving it like a maniac and then shouting at others because they're not driving it like a maniac. You can't change the world over there in Australia. You can't change it in Ryde, but on your doorstep you can make a difference.
So it's just really, I mean, just taking care of business that you can take care of within your own sort of sphere of influence, shall we say.
Yeah.
And being the best you can be, I guess.
I'm not a religious man, but it's quite fascinating to look at the Ten Commandments. And when you look at the Ten Commandments, you think, well, they're fairly quite straightforward, aren't they? And you go back to that book, and if we adhered to that kind of ruling all those years ago, we'd probably be all right now, wouldn't we?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's actually not rocket science. If you had to come up with a list of, tenets, 10 things to live your life by, you wouldn't be far off them, really, would you, at the end of the day? And life would be a better place if that were the case, perhaps. as you say, not a religious point at all, just really common sense.
I've never really been religious in my life, but that's doing to others you'd have done to yourself.
Exactly.
That's all you've got to know.
Would I like that if it was said or done to me? If the answer is no, then do not do it. Simple.
Did you play football
when
you?
Yeah, loved it. Yeah.
So just say, for instance, you're playing for your school team, and the ball's come off you, so it's not the corner that you want. So would you say, no, come off me, ref? Would you have done that all those years ago? It come off me, it's a goal kick, not a corner.
I think that back in the day then, obviously I could talk about my own personal feeling about that, but I think that there was a respect for authority where if the ref called it, and even if you knew the ref was wrong, you might sort of curse under your breath, but you certainly wouldn't, as you put it, F and Jeff to the ref in his face 2 inches from his nose. You just get on with it.
How come? Because this is the positive. Okay, we look at football. Not all footballers are that way inclined. Some are truthful and honest. But how is it you go into most other sports, and there is that honesty, there is that trust, there is that decency?
What's the difference? Is it the money? Is it the pressure that the money brings?
I would imagine so. But then if you're a tennis player, You know, they earn masses and masses of money, but most tennis players are sporting, if you like. Mm. The top ones are, you look at it and you think, what a gentleman.
Okay, well, let's look at it this way. Let's look at it from the other end, perhaps, in that case. Because, I mean, in things like tennis, with certainly the major tournaments where they have Hawkeye and the electronic means of being able to, you know, you can challenge a line call in tennis, and, you know, the electronic Hawkeye system, or whatever it happens to be, can support or deny you that claim if you object to them. And is it, I mean, in rugby, going back to rugby, which I think is one of the most sporting types of activity that still exists, they have the technical review where they look at the TV play and they decide on that. Do you think that the only way, going back to football, because it has been a theme running through this morning largely on this debate, do you think that football should be regulated so that if somebody cheats or fouls or whatever, that it is regulated by an incontrovertible decision as opposed to just the ref or the linesman saying, well, in my opinion, it was this?
Do you know what I'd love to do? Mm-hmm. I'd love to have a show. They probably would, none of these footballers would go on it. Mm. But I'd like to say, and I think, who was the guy that got chucked off of doing some commentary? Danny Baker got chucked off some commentary for saying the referee got something wrong, he saw it, and he wanted to put a microphone and a camera in his face and say, look, you got that wrong, that team now is going home and they're not going in the cup final because you've cost them because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd go slightly different. I'm not going to attack referees because I think they do a great job most of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd go to players, I'd say to players afterwards, we just want to show you this bit of footage, okay? Mm-hmm. Sergio Aguero, let's pick on him. Sergio, just talk us through this. You elbowing this chap.
Yeah.
Put him under pressure.
Yeah.
Put him right under pressure. Make him embarrassed.
Mm.
And maybe he won't do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Those kids that are watching and following, they then get the message. They can't do that. They can't get away with it.
Absolutely.
Put him under pressure. Make it a rule that every time there's a consensus thing that's going on the pitch,
mm-hmm.
they get him afterwards. They put him in front of a camera. They don't get the chance to say no because it's in their contract. And you say, talk us through this. Martin Skrtel, just talk us through this. You've had a little stamp on somebody, you've been sent off, and then you're standing, smiling, saying, huh, what did I do? What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Just talk us through what's going through your mind there.
Yeah.
Embarrass them, put them on the spot. That's what we should do,
mm-hmm.
but they won't do it because, for whatever, it's the same with the mobile phones. I know this is a gigantic leap here. Mobile phones, we all pay mobile phones. You've got a mobile phone this morning, can't connect to a network.
Mm.
Just say, for instance, there's plenty of people out there that have got mobile phones and they can't make a call, but they're still paying the monthly tariff.
Yeah.
And you want to go back to them and say, most people will, and can't get hold of them because the phone don't work, but they want to go back to them and say, hey, look, I want some money off because of.
Mm.
But no one's going to put that in place because the people that can put that in place are probably making money out of the phone companies that have got that in place.
Well, it's accountability, isn't it? I mean, it's on a personal, individual level in terms of how you live your life, whether you're Martin Skrtel or whether you're you or me, being accountable for your actions, your words, and the choices that you make. And similarly, you know, big business and so on and so forth. I mean, I, for example, over this weekend, just a minor example, I've got some savings tucked away somewhere that I normally manage online, and the online service has been down right over the weekend. That's now costing me money because I can't pay my bills because I can't access my savings because the online is down. And I'm sort of going, well, who do I speak to about this? I've emailed the people concerned and said, oh, well, you know, we're doing the best we can. Well, that's no good to me. Do you want to get in touch with my bank and pay them what I'm being charged because I'm overdrawn? Yeah, it's accountability.
It's so wrong. All these things, but they're never going to change purely and simply because they're making money out of it. So why would they change?
Why would they change? Well, if it ain't broke for them, why would they fix it?
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes. It really is. Okay, look, fascinating stuff. We are still on air here for another 5 or 6 minutes here up till 1 o'clock. I don't know where the hour's gone. It's been brilliant. I've absolutely loved it. We've had various people in touch. Nick's been on the old Facebook there, really giving it large about all these things, and I haven't been able to read them all out, Nick, because some of them just go on for pages. But thanks very much for being in touch. touch on that. And this is Vectis Radio. I'm Andy Knight here for the Monday show, the Monday morning mix, which includes the return of this, the lunchtime social debate. And just to remind you that that will be on during the course of the rest of this week on your mid-morning shows between 12 and 1, your first hour in the afternoon. And your contact details, just to remind you, you can email studio@vectisradio.com. You can tweet at Vectis Radio. You can Facebook us on facebook.com/Vectis Radio. And as you heard before, you can, of course, call straight into the studio here on 01983, the usual local code, and the number 240-666-240-666. We are down to the last few minutes of the show, and this hour has just raced by. My first time doing a lunchtime social debate, and it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, I'm very grateful that you dropped in to give us the benefit of your pearls of wisdom there. which are much admired by the listening public, as I've gathered from them and the messages coming through. You do talk an awful lot of common sense, and you know, it's a great pleasure to hear somebody do it for a change.
Well, I'm not. You know, when it comes down to it, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world, but I've got lots and lots and lots of common sense.
But do you see, where is that from the people who are in power to do something about it? I know that you govern your life and those that are immediate to you on the principles that you've expounded very eloquently in terms of common sense and how you see you know, humanity interpreted just in your day-to-day life, which I think is fascinating. But, you know, where are the people who should be doing that in the positions that actually affect not just themselves and the people immediately around them, but the rest of us, are, you know, within a parish, a community, an island, a country, a world? You know, where are these people?
They get elected, and then they forget who elected them and why. And they become bigger than those people that did elect them, supposedly, but they haven't. I mean, when was the last time you actually had a politician that said, do you know what, I got it wrong, and I'm sorry, and I'll put it right?
Exactly.
I've never heard that before.
No.
I mean, look at Tony Blair. I mean, look at the things that he got wrong that cost people lives.
Yes.
And again, we're talking about Syria. That's kind of, you know, it's kind of all interconnected. And you think, well, when was the last time he actually said, hang on, I'm really sorry, I didn't see that one coming, I'm just a human, just like you, and I make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever said it. No one's ever done it. Not in the political world.
No, not that I can think of.
And maybe in the sporting world, maybe they'll say, do you know what, on that day, in the heat of the moment, I did something wrong and I'm really sorry. And kids, don't do this because, you know, it's wrong. You know, we don't have that.
But people just don't take responsibility for their own actions because, as I go back to my point earlier, there isn't any accountability. I mean, okay, if you break the law and you get caught, and there's lots of people, you know, and I'm talking corporations apart from individuals, who break the law, whatever type of law it might be, taxation or anything else, and the crime for them is getting caught, not committing the crime. There is no accountability. There really isn't. And going back to my time as a teacher, you know, young people these days say, well, there's no consequence to my actions that I'm aware of, so I'll do what I like, because that's what everyone else seems to do.
Sadly.
And that is the sad reality.
Yeah, and when we're watching football every Saturday and Sunday, and now Friday nights, cause they do on, and Monday nights as well, you get a lesson on how not to behave most of the time.
Exactly.
And somebody's getting paid loads and loads of money for it.
Yeah.
Love football, and it all started out, this idea of what we were going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. It all stems from, I used to love football, and it used to be a sport, but now it's not, and that's the sad thing. We've waved it goodbye. And people like Brian Clough would be turning in their graves now because, you know, putting me on stage so I can have a bit of a, you know, G up the crowd and so on and so forth, and put money into someone else's pockets because of it. Who pulled that rule out and painted those lines out and said, right, that's what we're going to do from now on?
Yeah, crazy.
Anyway,
crazy,
we've run out of time, Andy.
We have run out of time. It's been fascinating talking to you, Ian. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I will be back on Friday for the mid-morning show at 10 o'clock. Do join me then if you can. And stay tuned, because Kevin Wilson's up for your Monday afternoon show. Once again, thank you for joining me today. It's been a great pleasure, and thank you again, Ian.